What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
it's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, welcome to Self Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
Whoops.
Fuck, Delaney's asleep.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson, coming in quite last.
And we are joined today by a guest that I've mentioned several times on the podcast.
Yes,
actually.
Yes, you have.
I've been mentioned.
You have.
Yeah. All positive stuff.
Yes, oh, good. Yes. Okay.
I'm like, this dick.
Yeah. It's all of your helpful advice that you've given me. So
that makes me feel really good.
Yeah, we're joined by Pete Lee. Yay!
Hi guys, how are you? Yay!
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, so happy to have you here. It's
Thank
so
you.
Nice finally meeting you, because yeah, I hear such great things from, you know, you guys. So
yeah, it's awesome. I feel like I know both of you because I know Kelsey so well, and she's like talked about both of you, and then I just watched your Netflix special, which is crazy. You're blowing up.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Sound effects.
I didn't know you personally, but Kelsey, when she was getting ready for the Tonight Show, I know was mentioning your set a lot, and then when I was getting ready, I probably watched your sets multiple sets.
Oh gosh.
Multiple times. They're so good. Oh. They're so tight.
He's the king of the Tonight Show, Pete Lee.
You just nice. Stop, but keep going. Stop, you're embarrassing
truth.
Me. I can't even look at you. I feel so embarrassed.
I tell my parents to watch Pete's sets. Like, I'm just if you want good comedy and like guaranteed laughter, you just go watch Pete Lee's Tonight Show sets.
That makes me feel really good. I'm going to cry now.
This is why you're here. This is how we get them. Make you cry, and then you open up with your deepest, darkest shit.
Yeah. This is like one of those like old like 2020 interviews. Like, what would make you cry?
Yeah. Right.
Compliments. Right off the bat, compliments. But
yeah,
can we start out like, what is this studio, by the way? Because I've seen it so much on Instagram. And then I showed up, and there's a door that has like Ace Hardware sticker letters that says comedy on it. Yeah. It was so funny to me.
Comedy building. Yeah. This is the All Things Comedy Studios. So we've been with them for 4 months now, 3 months.
Something like that.
Oh, I feel like it's been longer.
Maybe has
it's like wrong. Home, baby.
It's Bill Burr's and Al Madrigal's network.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, they've got some amazing shows, and we are so fortunate to get to be in the studio now. And they've got like cameras, and it's great.
You sound like we got asked about a sponsor, and we're like, well, you know, nothing hydrates me like a Sprite after a game. And we're just so fortunate to have them on board.
What a shitty nutrition plan, people drinking Sprite after athletic events.
Sponsorships work in sports.
That's
I think.
True.
I love it. Is Sprite really a sponsor of the network?
No.
No.
Because
no,
it's delicious. And they should be.
If Sprite was a sponsor of our network, like, we would be living much better lives. Oh, we wouldn't be living in one-bedroom apartments if Sprite was sponsoring our broadcasts. Right. We actually do. I mean, this is a good transition, though. We do have a sponsor.
Oh, the best one. Seriously. that lead in.
So genuine.
So no, I'm like super excited. Our sponsor this month, Vented in Brooklyn. We mentioned them last episode. They make aromatherapy bracelets. Would you like to look at it, Pete?
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Can I sniff your bracelet?
You can sniff it. I put some drops of eucalyptus this morning.
Can you still smell?
That smells really good.
Yeah. This is a good smell.
It's really nice. It's subtle because I've worn it all day.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, nice and subtle. You breathe in every 30 minutes or an hour, relieve some stress. This is all hand hammered copper. But the nice thing about this company is you buy a bracelet and they donate one to a cancer patient or a cancer organization. So somebody going through chemotherapy is getting one of these relieve the symptoms of the chemo.
Yeah. They're a badass.
It's an incredible company. We're so happy to have them. And just like, we get to wear cute shit.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the best
awesome.
Part.
And, one of the founders and CEO, she's so sweet. She heard our first plug about how we love the Fuck It bracelets they make, and she's sending us a whole another set of Fuck It bracelets.
I'm so
we can wear
ones
those.
That say Fuck It on the
instead of Grateful and Breathe, which is what we picked. Yeah. We picked
Harmony.
Classier words.
Yeah.
Yes, so they have these power words you can.
Yeah, like when you go to Cafe Gratitude and they're like, and you got to order and you're like, I am grateful for like
a bowl of joy.
Yeah.
It's just so they actually make you order like
that?
It's literally, you have to go, I would like a bowl of Synergy, and then
that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I can't do it.
I was there. My girlfriend and I went with Nikki the other night.
Yeah.
And then they ask you that question, like, now let's go around the table and everybody say what you're grateful for. And Nikki just goes, and I go, how about I just go? I'll say what we're all, and the dude had no idea that it was corny. Like he was literally like, he was confused at her look, like, what? That's never happened before. Everyone that comes in here loves this game. Oh. And Nikki was just like, no, like just scowling at him like, I'm hungry. This question is standing between me and my food.
Oh, that's a rough time to ask that. Ask that at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
Not when people are like waiting to eat. That's rough. Seriously.
Yeah. And she's like legit vegan too, Nikki Glaser. Yeah. So she's like always starving because she eats like.
I was just thinking that. When she's hungry, she's got to be really hungry. Like, give her food now.
Yeah. She eats leaves and sticks and stuff, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And she needs her food.
A lot of sustenance.
No, it keeps you full in and out.
Yes. I just want to mention a couple more things about this before I forget. No,
you're good.
All
Pete,
good.
Throw it in.
They are giving us, Vented in Brooklyn is giving us 15% off of all orders until August 28th. So go to ventedinbrooklyn.com and use the code Vented. SHP15 for 15% off. And also, they have a pop-up shop happening in New York City at Artists and Flea in New York on Prince and Broadway from July 30th to August 12th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So go check out our beautiful sponsor, and you can get a custom bracelet so you can pick your own power word to put on this.
Consent.
So, we love suck it.
Consent? Did you say consent?
Oh, you picked consent. Yeah, it'd be hilarious if you got consent on that. And then you just went up to your crush in the office like, want to smell my bracelet? Want to read it?
Let him know what's up.
There we go. A whole other tactic. I like it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, man. So we usually start with a quotable. That's what we call the segment.
Is that
it's
the
adorable.
Thing?
Yes.
That,
so if you have one quote, if you have several, right. Whatever you want, but I just I figured you had some that you like.
Oh my god, yeah, I feel like I live off of quotes from like self-help books and like my therapist.
You're
and stuff,
in the right place.
Hell yeah,
welcome
home. Oh, thank you, finally. Like, because I feel like when I'm usually talking with my buddies, I'll be like, yeah, my therapist said, and they're like, stop it.
And like, I love it every time you tell me what they, I'm like, what they say, tell me everything.
Yeah.
And then I share it on the podcast
because I need help, like,
right?
I need help.
Everybody does.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I didn't really have a dad growing up. So, like, I need, like, my therapist is, like, telling me all the stuff that I feel like a dad should have told people. But, I feel like most dads don't do that anyway. Did you guys have dads? Did you?
Yeah.
I have a dad, but, not a big talker. My dad is just, like, I think I've even told you guys, like, he's, like, when I was a teenager, hey, when you lose your virginity, I just want you to know that you could talk to me about it at some point. You know, like, but then, like, when I eventually brought it up, he was like, ah, and then he left, you know? So it was like, he was there, but, like, not too much.
Right.
Wow. Not too much there.
Yeah. So you had, like, the traditional dad.
Like the sitcom dad.
I think yours is very...
My dad talked too much. For everybody. A lot of opinions for my dad.
Too many boundaries.
Yeah.
My dad's around now. I don't want people to think that it's sad. I'm friends with him now. He's really great.
That's awesome.
But he moved to California when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And so I needed guidance, you know?
Yeah.
But so anyway, getting back to therapy. So my therapist always says childhood is a game and you lost. And now as an adult, you have a chance at winning adulthood.
Whoa.
So forget your childhood and move on and focus on winning your adulthood.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
You are blowing our minds.
That's
already.
A good one, right?
That's really good.
That is a great way to look at it so you can just let go of all your bullshit from childhood. That's a really nice way to look at it.
Yeah. And I think that was a quote that somebody else said and then he quoted it to me.
Yeah.
But we're going to attribute that to my therapist.
Sure. Yeah.
Fully. Anybody listening who has a good Rolodex of quotes in their head, it's like your therapist did not make that up.
Right.
No, he did, and he's my dad.
Oh my god, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else.
You're
to
nailing
add.
This. Pete.
I'm nailing
really
the podcast.
You really are.
That's it's just the timing of that is so weird. That is exactly the stuff I'm talking about. In therapy right now and working through dad's shit specifically and having a hard time letting go of resentment from childhood, but being annoyed by that feeling where I'm like, I would like to let it go. And I feel like that quote almost gives you permission.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay. Like, yeah, it sucked and shit happened, but you get to just
it.
Like, yeah, which kind of, you don't want to be told that, but in a way it does kind of give you that permission.
Yeah. I mean, he also is he's like, look, you know, your childhood stuff is going to be there and it's always going to be triggering. But once you feel that trigger, you can trace it back to exactly where it came from, pretty easily. And then you go, all right, well, that guy that butted in line, you know, that wasn't that has nothing my anger in this moment. Like you're getting like road rage level anger, when somebody cuts in line for a sandwich.
Right.
And there's no way that anger could be towards that person. It's from a deep trigger that came from your childhood.
Yeah.
And it's from a bully in second grade or from your dad or from your mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And so what my therapist always says is he's like the quicker that you can make those connections, bing, 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 you can go oh, okay, yeah, this has nothing to do with him. But, you know, the bully in middle school, Craig,
fucking Craig, man.
Yeah.
Craig's fault.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable sharing some of your biggest revelations in therapy?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah.
I'd love to hear them.
All right.
Your eyes just went up.
I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always walked around because I'm a pretty happy guy and I was I don't have any anger. Turned out I had a ton. I had just a ton. I was I have anxiety. It turned out that I was masking my anger, you know? And but yeah, it's even I talk about it, I'm like, oh, gulp, anger. But
that was the most adorable.
I can't picture you angry now.
Gulp. Oh,
gulp.
I do cartoon animal anger.
Yeah.
But my dad left on Christmas when I was 3. And I know. Have you had a sadder person come in here?
Oh.
Is that, or with a sadder story?
That's pretty sad.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Really, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It was just so funny.
No.
I know.
I used to go on Rich and Bonnie's SiriusXM show, and every time that I would get triggered or anything like that, they'd start playing Christmas music.
Oh my God.
Oh, man. Really going for it.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah. So, so there's that. So for a lot of my childhood, I was nope, I'm happy about it. I'm fine. More presents at Christmas.
Right.
Having a mom and a dad, 2 Christmases, this is all good.
Yep.
It turns out, I found out at close to 40 years old, I'm kind of mad about that.
Yeah.
And I am. It sucks.
Yeah.
But I actually talked to my dad about it. I was like, Dad, hey, Dad, I was like, you know, we're really close now and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, can I talk to you about some like stuff in the past?
Yeah.
And we like had a big talk about it and it was good.
Great. That's amazing.
And I feel more clear from it. But also my therapist does this really cool stuff where he like literally like once he figures out what triggers you, like he goes like bing, bing. And then he gets it back to like the root, you know? So let's say it's like dad left on Christmas or whatever. He literally has you like go over to a punching bag and like talk to your dad and like punch it out. Whoa. To the point where you're like crying and like Whoa. Yelling and stuff like that. And I know it's crazy. Like, oh my gosh. Like his, and he lives in like a brownstone in Brooklyn. Like his neighbors must think that the most insane shit is happening. Right. Over there.
It's like a movie therapist.
Yeah. Right. It's crazy. So
I've never heard of that.
Yes, but like it's weird because the next time you feel the thing that triggers you and it goes back to that, the kettle actually has some steam burnt off. You're like, oh, well, I guess I don't care about that. Like
you already punched him.
Yeah, like I feel less triggered now. So it's been
man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, did it take a long time to get comfortable to like do that in front of somebody? Mm. Like punch and cry and do let this out?
I'm still not comfortable in front of mine with that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like jealous that you can do that comfortably.
Yeah, I mean this guy just makes you. Like he literally is like, come on, and he'll like even if you're like, I don't feel comfortable, he'll use that and like get you crying because of that or something like that. And then once you're in it, you're just in it. But yeah, it's almost like an acting class where you have a scene and your teacher's trying to work you up into this lather so that you can do this scene. And you're like, I don't want to do that because I don't, all day long, I'm walking around trying to not let that out. You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or like, have you ever been on a plane and you hear a crying baby and you're like, I want to do that. Like I'm having that bad of a day
right.
and I would love to just cry right now, but I can't. Like, we have all these defense mechanisms that like keep it, like we just like keep it all in all day.
Yeah.
And so like in that circumstance, it feels so uncomfortable just to let it out. But like afterwards, he's like, he always like, you know, he'll have you like kind of do these like yoga things to like, you know, cool down. And then, you know, he sits you down in the chair and he's like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I feel great. I feel like so good. And
how long are your sessions?
Like 45 minutes. But
wow. So I was going to say, that seems like it would be like a 2-hour session, but you're able to get there and cool back down in 45 minutes.
Yeah. He's like a hypnotist.
Amazing.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's in Brooklyn. So now that I moved out here, I got to do like Skype sessions.
Oh.
So now people like my neighbors, I try to do it in the middle of the afternoon when nobody's going to be home. But like a lot of people in LA, it's like entertainers, actors, you know, podcast people that like they're home during the day. So I guarantee that they think that I'm a freak. Like I guarantee that they think that I'm just the worst.
Yeah.
And like some spazzy neighbor just moved in.
That's where the sad man lives.
Yeah. Yeah. The sad man.
Oh my God.
The sad man with the nice patio furniture.
Yeah. See, we call that trying to fill a void with a chair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Wow.
With a chase lounge.
Yeah. Like Tyler Durden in your life.
Yeah.
The guy who just keeps buying IKEA furniture. And he actually has like split personality disorder. You don't have split personality disorder.
Oh, no. Thank God.
Not yet.
I know. Thank God. This one's hard enough.
Yeah.
To live with.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
But my girlfriend is actually a psychiatric nurse practitioner.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so, like, I talk to her about all this kind of stuff, and it's pretty, like, it's pretty cool. I also, like, she does these, like, Skype sessions with people, and I've had it where I've got to, like, sneak into the kitchen and get a coffee, and, like, she'll be up on a bar stool, and I, like, crawl behind her. I, like, army crawl my way past the camera.
Yeah.
So that I can go get coffee. And it's so weird because, like, some of these people that, you know, they're talking about their symptoms and how they're feeling and, you know, and like, I'm like, oh my God, I've dated her, you know, like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, that's what that girl was.
That's what that girl was.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I was dealing with serious stuff and I thought that like, I just needed to be better or whatever.
Oh,
like,
so interesting.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. It's really crazy. But,
yeah.
But yeah, she's it's fascinating like listening to her talk about her work and talk with her coworkers and
I
dated a girl that was an event planner and I'd have to like go out with her like event planner friends. I hated it. I was just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They were just all so basic. And I go out with her and her friends and they're talking about like crazy people and like meth addicts at work
oh my
and
God.
Stuff like that. And they're like, sorry to bore you with this. I'm like, this is the best. Right. This is the most amazing thing. I had a night where I was at the stand and like I had a new joke and I just wanted to tell my new joke really bad.
Yeah.
And then the heckler like interrupted me and then like I didn't get to tell my new joke.
Yeah.
And I called her up. This is when I was living in New York and she was living here. And she's like, how was your night? And I was like, oh, I'm like, I had this new joke. I wanted to tell my new joke, and then the heckler interrupted me, and I was like, how was your day? Because she also works at a psych hospital during the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she goes, well, it was kind of weirder than yours. And I go, what happened? And she goes, well, there were these two giant orderlies that were, like, they had this, like, probably, like, 107-pound meth girl, you know? And she was just, like, methed out, right? Well, like these guys like had her and she goes, well, I have to like give her something to like kind of sedate her to, you know, help her come out of the meth fog or I don't know the terminology.
Yeah.
And meth fog sounds
right. Meth fog. Yeah. So she goes, well, so she's like, I'm going to have to sedate you now. And the woman goes, if you try to sedate me, I'm going to taekwondo these motherfuckers.
Oh my gosh.
And she goes, my mistake was laughing like a little bit. She goes, because these guys were giant, right?
Yeah, right.
She goes, within a split second, she like kicks up and knocks this guy out, like kicks him in the face.
Oh my God.
Like just like thump, right? Oh and then she punches this guy in the throat, like drops. And then she's like, and then she just starts walking towards my girlfriend, like slowly. And she's like, I just ran and locked myself in the break room. And I like have this stuff that could like, you know, like sedate someone. And she's like, do I use it on myself?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't get to tell my joke. Like, holy, I want to tell my joke.
Taekwondo'd my set.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
That's gnarly.
Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Every day that she works, because she works at that
place.
Wait,
what happened at the end? How'd she get out of that?
Literally just other people tackled this girl it was all fine, but like she didn't have to deal with it. But she's like she was like shaking from the adrenaline. But it's funny, every time I talk to her about that, I'm like, are you okay? Like, should you be working there? It's almost like dating a cop that it works dangerous. Like, maybe you should get out of this.
She's like a brain cop.
Yeah, brain cop.
It's so scary.
I love that, brain cop. But she like she loves it. Like she'll like when she talks about the adrenaline, she'll be like, "Yeah, I was really messed up and I was really scared." Oh, but that adrenaline. And she just like loves it.
Wow.
So she'll never not do this job.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
so crazy. Yeah, no, I'd be terrified. So meth makes you that strong, huh? Or does it just make you really ballsy?
I think it's ballsy.
It sounds like she has some taekwondo training. It's not like meth made her know karate.
I don't know, but it's like this little tiny person was able to knock out two giant dudes.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that side effect of meth before. That's just very interesting to me.
She said it was like, she was like the female Jack Bauer, where it was like, how could you just do that? Like, she's like, she must have been like a commando, like a trained killer kind of a person. It was like, and I go, why did she let the orderlies get her to that point?
I want to have her on the podcast. I have got questions for how this chick got to be where she is. Because that sounds like a crazy life.
Yeah.
But just every day she comes back from that place and like, they'll have like, because their numbers grow all day because the police bring people in. Wow. And like, it'll get up to like 53 people and they're all like mingling in the same sort of area. And she's like, sometimes when you have to walk through there, it almost feels like on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right, like rub dead juice on you so that they don't know that you're not one of them and like just make it across the room.
Dead juice?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Isn't that nuts?
Like blood?
Isn't that gnarly what she does for a living? That's crazy.
Oh, that is intense. So gnarly.
That is intense.
Oh my God.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle.
Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Gosh, yeah. I have to meet her. I can't wait to talk to her.
You haven't met her. You met her briefly via FaceTime.
That's right. I feel like I know her because of hearing all this from you. But yeah, I gotta meet her.
Yeah. I just realized I have had my back turned to the camera the whole time.
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, no, that one's on you.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Oh.
There you go. Emma's the best.
Yeah. What if for the rest of the podcast I just do this?
Give the people what they want.
Talk to the camera. There we go. I have a question. I don't know if you guys have questions. Am I stomping on your questions? Repeat?
You're fine. Okay.
You probably have the same questions.
Okay. I was going to say, I've heard through the grapevine that you have left stand-up several times.
Kelsey.
Yeah, Kelsey.
Oh, my God.
That you've left and come back and all that. I just quit stand-up with no intention of going back either anytime soon or ever.
And you're still in it. You're still in it.
I'm not. I haven't performed since April, and I have not been happier. And I just wanted to know, like, what made you decide that? Why'd you go back? What has that experience been like?
Oh my God. It's such a freeing feeling when you quit stand-up, because it's like, oh, like you don't have to worry about the next show, the next crowd, like, because you never know when the next bomb is around the corner. I've been doing so well lately, and I was at the Cellar in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Friday night's early show, they just hated me. They hated me so much, to the point where before I would do a bit, I would go, okay, this was my closing bit on the Tonight Show and you're going to hate it, but like this just shows
but just
that
so you
suck.
Know.
Oh yeah, just God. So you know that you suck. Like,
yeah, right. And this is you, not me.
Yeah, yeah, the crowd was so bad, and like I actually walked off stage going, well, like things are going so well, I can't quit now again, but like that would have been one of the sets where I would have thought about quitting before.
Wow.
But I used to quit every summer when I first started. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, when I first started. So I've been doing
just
comedy.
Like a teacher.
Yeah, like a teacher, yeah.
Summer exactly. Stand-up teacher, you just in and out.
9 months on, 3 months off. Yeah. I love my summers. I just love my summers. But I I would do it until like May, and like you know how the shows start to get like crappier and crappier in the spring, because everybody just wants to cook out, nobody wants to be there. Maybe like their girlfriend was like, "Why you never take me out?" And then like the guys are like all, they have that like shitty masculine energy that they're aiming at you.
Yeah.
And so like right around May, I would just be like, nah, I'm going to have a summer, and like maybe I'll go back to it in the fall.
Wow.
And then, but like all summer I would like, have you done this where I would kind of like collect ideas and like I'd be like, well, I'll write it down in case I ever do it again.
Yeah.
And then when I'd come back in September, I'd have like all this new stuff and I'd be like, oh, this is the best. I love it. It's great. And then, you know, at least when I started in Minnesota, like the falls there, like winter comes really quickly and then the crowds get huge because they have nothing else to do. And so like stand up by October was amazing again.
Yeah.
And then like the same thing would happen where it'd be awesome, awesome, awesome. And then come May, I'd be like, I don't want to do this. Like, I hate this so much. But yeah, back in, I think it was 2013 or something like that. Or no, it was 2011. I just like my phone hadn't rang in forever. I couldn't get on TV. I couldn't get passed at any club in New York, even though I used to be passed there. But like all the bookers changed, so I'm just still like living there, like going to the strip, hanging out.
Yeah.
Like even just thinking about it is like ugh.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how much does it suck to hang out?
So we don't.
We don't.
We just have never been those people that were like, oh, I guess that's something. We're just like, no, there has to be another way. We just don't. We won't do it. Mm-hmm. We hate it so much. Yeah.
I can't stand it. Like,
yeah.
My agent, he's like tonight, he's like, you got to come hang out at the store.
Oh, it's the worst when agents tell you to hang out. They're like, you know who's really going to help you get work? I'm like, it's not you? They're like, yeah, no, you got to hang out with other comedians. And I'm like, then why are you even here? So just tell me to hang out?
Yeah.
No.
To hang out.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $50 for like 3 vodka sodas. On a patio talking with people I don't care about.
Yeah.
It just feels so draining in every sense, financially, emotionally.
Yeah. I feel like you can take that time to be writing at home in your underwear and come up with something, or like creating a video, or like writing a film. I don't know. Just anything else.
Anything else but hanging out.
Yeah.
And then like you, like even on that patio, like you can hear comics that aren't as good as you on stage at that moment. And you're like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, you got to let everybody know that you're in town and, you know, you got to do that. But, like, but so, yeah, for a while in New York, like, I was doing that after I'd already been passed and then the bookers changed. I was like, I called my dad and I was like, Dad, I think I'm going to quit comedy again. And he's like, you can't. You haven't quit in so long, you know? Like, he was like, what are you doing? Like, it's been years since you quit. You know, he's like, you've done a lot of cool things. And I was like, yeah, I think I was like, my friend Jeremy told me about day trading. Like, which now, like, it's like stocks where you just do it at home.
What?
And you basically gamble all day, but with the stock market. And, like, my friend Jeremy was like, he's like, dude, I made, like 200 grand this quarter, and I just really got on it. And if you're smart, you can really do it. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to quit comedy, and I'm going to day trade. And so I called my dad, and my dad was like, he's like, what are you talking about you're going to day trade? He's like, you're terrible with math. Like, you're not going to do well with this. And he's like, and you can't go get a day job because he's like, you've been a free animal for too long. And so, and he's like, and plus he goes, in your business, he goes, at any moment, like, you get a phone call and then, like, make like 50 grand or like get a special or do the Tonight Show or like do something where like your income is going to like double and triple, you know? And he's like, you're at a point where you're so good and you've built this bank of material that is like, you know, like, is so good. He's like, just somebody needs to see it. And I was like, all right, well, but I'm quitting, you know, like I'm still going to quit. And then, like 2 days later, this lady that I knew that booked a show for Fuse that I had auditioned for like 3 months earlier, she called and she's like, hey, you're on the show. So I was on the show called Video on Trial, where we like just popped up over music videos and like made fun of them.
Yeah.
But it went for like 3 seasons. And like, I like got my wind back. And then from that, I got Best Week Ever. And then from that, I got Letterman. And then, you know, like, it was like, I was like, oh, okay. So like, so I think I quit for 3 days. Like, I think that I, because I didn't do any stand up in that time because I wasn't passed. So I'm saying that that was the last time that I quit.
You quit, and then all this stuff happened.
Yeah, and then all that stuff happened, and it's been like a chain reaction. But
wow, when was the longest amount of time you quit? Just those like few months in the summers?
Yeah, the summers were the longest that I quit. But so how long has it been?
April. So what is it now? It's been a few months. But it's interesting because, like, I've never been happier and I'm very confident in my decision. And if I go back, it'll be like for a tour with them or something for like a fun thing. But I still write things down. So I don't think I've fully detached from it yet because I still write bits down in my phone. I'm like, maybe eventually one day, or maybe I'll write for somebody else at some point, or maybe this will be like a sketch or something. But I haven't fully like cut that part of my brain off. Like, the creative ideas are still coming in.
Yeah, how could you ever?
No, I think that's good you do that. Yeah. That's like a fucking life force, you know? You're supposed to create.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You can't shut that off. It's funny how so many times you think to yourself, like, I can't think of anything. And but like that antenna is like always there and it's still receiving messages. It's crazy.
And I feel like it received the idea. I'm taking time off right now, just a couple weeks, but when I take time off deliberately, I have the same thing where I'm writing stuff down all the time, and then when you go back, you're like, oh, this is great, this is really fun.
Yeah,
because you need that space to miss it. And you kind of need to clear out the cobwebs in your brain, I feel like, because if you're going so hard and just a comedy machine, you're like, I don't have anything to say. I'll accept that I'm anxious about having nothing to say.
Yeah.
Which isn't very funny. No fuel. Like, if you're just like exhausted, you're not going to be thinking creatively. You're just going to be trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That picture that you posted of you after the taping, wasn't it on Instagram that you posted like a picture of that you took like right after your taping,
and
you
were like, the Netflix one.
That picture, I was like, oh, I know that exact feeling where you just put everything into it and then you finally did it and you made it, and like, and everything was flawless and seamless and it exploded and whatever, and then you just have that moment alone where you're like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve some time off.
Thank you.
After that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I kind of, I mean, the aftermath of that was that I went from the Netflix taping to a college gig the next night. I went home for 2 days, and then I went to Omaha on Valentine's Day to do the Funny Bone all weekend, and then I had a few more college. And it, like, I didn't take any time, and I just broke down, and so now... because I had the Tonight Show thing and the Netflix thing coming out, I was like, oh, I have to schedule some time off. Otherwise, it's all going to go to shit again.
Yeah, you're going to end up breaking down or, like, having that punchline moment where you cry on stage or something. Or, like, yeah, you need that. Like, you... But it's comic. Like, when you're self-employed, you never take a vacation. Like, because you...
Yeah.
Or when you do, it's like a comedy vacation.
Oh,
you know, where,
yeah,
where I'm going to go perform somewhere nice, where like you get half of a vacation because you can't really do much during the day because you have to save your energy.
Yeah.
And then you still have to be somewhere at 8, you know?
Oh, yeah. We just did an episode about guilt, and we didn't even really talk about the guilt of taking time off. We focused on other things that were kind of making us feel guilty, but, you know, that's a really big thing that we've all talked about before on the show is, like, the guilt of taking time off because you feel like you're not allowed to. And also with social media, it's a constant reminder that even if you're taking time off, everybody else is still working. So you just feel like you aren't allowed to because you'll get too far behind and then you'll be irrelevant.
So, I've had it lately where, because I'm trying to put this set together for Montreal.
Yeah.
I actually just had to submit it today because I'm doing that gala taping or whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever I have a taping like that and I'm putting together material, I feel like all creativity stops and it like funnels into that. It's not like, you know, you are thinking like one-liners to like fill the gaps and like fill in holes and like make it even better. But I feel like I'm not creative at all. I feel like I'm doing math or I'm doing engineering. Yes.
Yeah, it's like the different parts of your brain, left side versus the right side and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I write so many right side. The right side is the logic side, right? Or is it the left?
I thought
right
left creative. Left. Yeah, left is
right
logic.
Is, right is creative.
Yeah, I'm like you Googling it?
No, my sister's calling me.
I'm like the opposite of you, where it helps me if there's an actual structure and like a plug this in here, because I'm so left-minded, like wanted to be... like math teacher, like, you know, math major, all that stuff, where I feel more comfortable in that than when there's just like a void, like an open space to do whatever. I really struggle when there's no like deadline or structure.
Oh, so you need that. All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's interesting to hear that with you. You're like, oh, I got nothing now.
Yeah, I got nothing. I mean, but I've written for shows before where like you got to write like, you know, 30 jokes on this or whatever. So I can write within structure, but I'm better when I'm just kind of like, what am I thinking about lately? And then the jokes start falling in about that topic. And I always think about jokes like they're buckets, you know, like you have like a topic about, you know, a new relationship or like, you know, a move or, you know, if like, sometimes like for a little while this year, I was focusing on, overconfident people, like, because it fascinates me. Like just when people are like way overconfident. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's Adderall. Like, I don't know.
Like, honestly,
probably Adderall.
Adderall's the only drug I've ever wanted to do.
Have you ever done it?
I feel like we would be so excellent.
I almost
on
bought
Adderall.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Gold star all day.
Yeah.
I'm excited thinking about it.
I took Adderall 3 times and I was like, I've never felt better.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
You're so focused and like you have this like cocaine confidence, but it's not like crazy. And it's like, it's honestly the perfect medicine, but like everyone that I know that does it, they end up going to like from 5 milligrams to like 10 milligrams to like 20 to like whatever. And like usually when you get up to like 80 or 90 milligrams a day, which is like almost lethal, like then you gotta like start weaning yourself off of it and like get off of it.
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible.
Yeah. I always picture it as like that you're on Mario Kart and you hit the star and you're like, din, 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 and like you're going so fast and you're untouchable. And it just feel like that's what I imagine it would be like. Like you're getting so much done and you're doing it like excellently.
You know?
Which is like what I dream of, you know, just to be like accomplishing superhero. So much and like super fast. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes my girlfriend takes it. Because she like right now she's finishing up her master's.
Yeah.
And so like she'll be like, she just doesn't have any more left. She'll worked a full day doing her clinicals and then she has to like study all night.
Oh my God.
And so she takes it. But like, she also has trouble focusing. And like we're at the Cellar in Vegas and then she got bit by something. And so my brain freaked out. I was like, bed bugs. Oh my God. So when we got home, I put all the suitcases out on the porch and I like combed through every single nook and cranny of like every single thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got like, at one point I found 2 Adderall in one of her purses and I was like, hey, here's some Adderall. I was like, should I take this? And she goes, you don't need Adderall. She's like, look at what you can do without Adderall. She's yeah. like, your brain can go into this mode where you went through every seam of everything that we have and you yeah. like dried all of our clothes in the dryer and like, she's like, it would take me 4 days to do all of that without Adderall.
Whoa. So and she so, does actually feel like she needs that.
Yeah. She's okay. like, I need it sometimes, but yeah, I hope I'm not outing her by saying that.
We did a whole Adderall
episode. Your girlfriend
episode.
Can do whatever she wants. Yeah. She sounds like an amazing human
yeah.
being.
Yeah. She's pretty awesome. She's but helping people. Yeah, the last time I took Adderall, I took a quarter of a 10, so 2.5 milligrams of it. And like at like 6 in the morning, I was like journaling, you know, I was like journaling, like cracked out on Adderall. I think I masturbated like 6 times just to try to like take
oh my
some
God.
Of the like oh, yeah, take
is
the
it
edge
still
off.
Attached?
That's yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, I can do that a lot, but
I'm like, yeah, that's a slow day.
Yeah, I'm like a zoo monkey, but yeah, but it like I was just so cranked out on it that it's funny that like just the idea of somebody that could take 20 milligrams several times a day. I don't know what I would never sleep for a year. Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I had a question for you. You've been how long have you been living in LA now? A month? 2 months?
A month. Yeah.
A month. What like emotionally for you? How has that felt to move here? What have been like the high points and the low points?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, like, it feels so good to wake up and, well, I haven't been here a lot, too, because I've been traveling so much. I've been, like, my agent that told me to move here has been doing, like, a really good job. Like,
yeah.
I'll just say that. But, so I've been home, like, 3 days a week, but, like, the days that I am home, I just feel generally way more happy. Like I
wow.
wake up, I just wake up and I go and I sit on my little balcony and I sit in my Chase Lounge that we talked about earlier. I drink coffee and there's palm trees that yeah. sway. There's this crazy guy, we call him the greeter. He sleeps in a pickup truck that has like a little topper yeah. and then every morning he like rolls out of it and he like he'll like flip out of it, like out of the little topper thing. Like the back little flap, yeah. you know, he'll like flip out of it, but then he like starts walking, like nothing happened to the point where your brain goes like, did anything happen? Like, did he really sleep in there and then just get out? And he like, but we call him the greeter because anybody that's just kind of walking up to the building for some reason, our building, he walks up and he goes, hey, fuck you. And then he walks away. And it's so funny to me. And so I'm sitting there sipping my coffee. And then like somebody starts like walking up or like the FedEx guy.
Oh
and
gosh.
I'm like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And they're like, hey, fuck you. And then he walks away. He's like a homeless guy that tucks in his shirt and stuff. It's like a dirty shirt, but he still tucks it in.
This guy sounds awesome.
Yeah.
We should get him on the podcast. Yeah. I feel like he's figured it out.
He's great. He looks like Bob Ross. You remember?
Yeah, the
like
fro.
Happy Little Trees. Yeah. That's what he looks like. But yeah, so it's like so happy, you know, that way. But when I first like leaving New York, I cried. I cried like crazy. I was like, and I like went to my therapist the day before I left, and I was like, I'm gonna cry, you know, because I'd been through so much in New York, you know, like I got married there, I got divorced there,
yeah,
I went through like a nightmare of a relationship there, I like built myself back up, I got past the cellar, I got the yeah. Tonight Show and stuff like that, and like I felt like I was leaving on top, and I was like, it was like more emotions of like, I can't believe that I did it, you know, like because I wanted to quit and leave New York so many times and I didn't.
Yeah.
And now I felt like I got to leave on good terms.
Yeah.
And go somewhere nice. And like on the plane, I was like on the plane, I was like, you know, they bring the little peanuts. I was in first class and I was like eating my peanuts, like crying a little bit. And the flight attendant came over and she was like, hey, would you like some more peanuts? Like she could see that they were making me happy, and like she was like not going like, hey, I can see you're crying, but she was like, I can see you're crying. And,
yeah.
But yeah, I like cried on the plane right here, and then it was a little bit of a weird moment because I landed, and then you know my girlfriend, she does this for a living, you know, she deals with people's emotions. But at one point, you know, I cried, you know, I didn't cry on my last night of shows and stuff like that. And Patrick got me a cake. And I mean,
because you told me you thought you were going to.
I was totally going to cry. Yeah. I thought I was going to cry. Yeah. I didn't even have the feeling. I didn't even
Weird.
Have the urge to cry. But then I got home that night, cried my eyes out.
Oh.
And then, like, I woke up that morning, like, cried, you know, got on the plane, cried, you know, like, my apartment building. Like,
yeah.
It was a dumb apartment building in Queens, but I was like, you know. And, so we're sitting at my girlfriend's place, and I was, like, just telling her about how much I cried, and she's like, that's kind of an unusual amount of crying. And so she, like, kind of judged it. And I was like, really? You're an expert. I'm like, is that really bad? And she's like, well, I guess. She's like, if I was like seeing you in a clinical setting and you talked about crying that much, she's like, I just would wonder like what was wrong, you know? And she's like, are you okay? And so we kind of sat down and like almost had a therapy session. I was like, well, it's not just leaving New York. There's just a lot of attachment there. Like a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, you're not nuts. But I think that like... I think that she's talked to so many of my friends in comedy and, you know, and like, you know, she like, I think that for a little while she was like low key, like sizing me up. Like, is this guy crazy? You know? And so that was one of those moments where she was like, okay, all right, you were showing signs of that, but I think that this is normal.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'm so fascinated with your guys' relationship because of her job and because you are so emotionally in tune with yourself and with others, and like you go to therapy and like do the work. I'm like, what an amazing situation, right?
Yeah.
Because so many couples' biggest problem is like lack of communication or people not being aware of themselves. And I just feel like you guys are both of those things to the nth degree.
Yeah. I was going to ask, does it ever get a little complicated or blurry where she's like, okay, we have to stop now because this is now getting into like it's a little bit too much where like, this is what I do for a living. And now like, let's try to keep some boundaries here or something.
No, she's never done that. Like she can't talk about it enough. And the fact that that's cool. want to, because I feel like she was with guys in the past that were like why would we talk about that,
right?
You know, like very stoic guys, you know, they're like classic men. And so when we met each other, she was like, what, you want to talk? You want to talk about your feelings? You've done the work, you know? She I think that she's kind of like me, where she dated a lot of guys that she was kind of trying to save them, you know, like bring her work home and then do it, you know, like have a pet project at home. And so
girls love projects.
Yeah, they love projects. And with me, she's like, wait, you know, she's like, yeah, you need work still, but at least I have the base foundation of it, and I'm aware of things, and I'm getting better all the time. But yeah, the worst part about it though, is that like we really haven't had like fights. Like we've had like a few flare up things or whatever, but like the way that she handles herself in like in a disagreement is like so adult.
Oh my God, please tell me her ways.
Oh my gosh.
It's so adult that it's like almost maddening, you know? Like, cause I my last thing was like, you know, up and down and screaming and yelling and like the, you know, the worst kind of behavior.
Right.
And, so we were in Salt Lake City and, this fan came out and like, I was like hugging her goodbye. And then for some reason I was like really drunk and kind of high. And in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I like touched her face for some reason. I was like, it's good to see you. And like that was triggering to my girlfriend. She's like, you do not touch another woman's face in front of me. And she, but the way that she handled it, she's like that. I feel really upset about that. She's like, that felt sexual. And she's like, the other people around us were like, what is he doing in front of you? And she's like, I feel embarrassed. You know, she's communicating like an adult.
Yeah. Wow.
I can see the emotion in her. And she's like, I just need to know what you were thinking. And I was like, I do not have an answer to that question. Yeah. I had no idea what, like, I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I have no idea what I was thinking. Like, it was just like a random face touch. And she's like, no, that's not enough. She's like, you're going to have to come up with something better of why you would do that. And
what'd you come up with?
Yeah. Well,
so we get back to the hotel room. She goes to bed instantly. And I'm like texting Nikki. And I'm like, what was I thinking, Nikki? I'm like, can you help me out? And she's like, I'm going to need some time with this, because she's like, I don't even know what the fuck you were thinking by doing that. She's like, this girl's special. She's like, you, like the love of your life, and you're touching another girl's face. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, so now I'm getting it from you know, both places. And then like I kind of thought about it overnight, and then I got a text from Nikki, and it was like the two kind of lined up. But let me, I'm trying to remember what I was thinking with that. Like, first of all, like, there's a component of, like my girlfriend and I were, like, we're having so much sex that I think that, like, sometimes you just, like, get, like, sexualized. Where, like I couldn't have had more sex that day if I tried. But, like, you, I don't know, you feel, like, almost like a Latin dancer when you've had sex four times in one day. So, like, I think that, like, a little bit of that sex, like, bled over. Into her,
oh, Mark,
you know?
Anthony coming. Yeah,
exactly.
In the studio.
That's so funny. Like, it's so true.
Like, I'm gonna be a face grabbing man because I'm such a.
I'm empowered.
Yeah. I'm Enrique. I can just do this. This is what he does.
Yeah, I'm such an alpha.
Yeah,
I'm such an alpha that I'm a face grabber. And she goes
walking around with a rose in your mouth. And yeah, just like, you're welcome. Yeah, yeah.
Wearing one of those like ballroom dancing like spandex tuxedos, yes, that's low cut,
oh,
you know,
God,
for a man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But then also, you know, I think that like I think I was trying to like test her a little bit, you know, because I didn't know what her boundaries were. And so and she was like so cool about everything. And like I needed to find the ceiling. And
yeah.
And so
that's,
I was like,
so crazy because I would have thought that just going like I was just kind of drunk and high and I did something would have been enough. And the fact that she was like, dig deeper.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's so.
And she was right.
She was right.
That's there was more to it than part. Just like, I don't know. I was just drunk and high and that's it.
Yeah. She wasn't going to accept that. She was like, and I was like, oh God, you know, I just never been with anyone that adult. And I mean, you got to understand that like when, you know, when like the meth people and the schizophrenics and the whatever, they come into her work, she interviews them for like an hour and they always lie and they lie and they lie and they lie. And then they'll be like, oh, I'm on drugs and I'm blah, blah, blah. And then she finally like gets the truth out of them of what happened and when it happened and like what's going on with them. And, you know, and so she essentially like did like a really soft version of that with me.
Right. Yeah.
And it worked. And, you know, and then afterwards she was like, I can accept that. She's like, you needed to test my boundaries. You needed to see what that was. And
well, there they
are.
They're
found. Yeah. Well, I have a question. Were you trying to test them because you wanted to see how much she like cared about you or how much you could get away with perhaps?
I think it was more like what I could get away with. Like, cause I know that she cares about me. Like, I've never felt more loved in my life, but yeah, I don't know. I think that I was just like, wow, she has no boundaries. Like,
well, when you, cause when you said that, you're like, she's so cool with everything. What made you think that? Like, what was she like, we can have an open relationship? You know, like what was she saying that was making you feel like, oh shit, she's like cool with everything?
Well, when we first started, we were in we started out open and
cause
I had been in open stuff and
she's like,
let's try that. She's like, we're living. She goes, we're living, you know, cross country. She goes, you've been single for a while. You know, you've been like sleeping around, whatever. And she's like, let's try it out. Let's just try this out. And like very early on, I was like, I don't want to do that with her. Like, I didn't. It wasn't even so much like I didn't want her to sleep with somebody, which I really didn't. But like I just was done. Like I like when I was single, I was like sleeping around.
We talk about it. Like, I don't like this. I'm not good at this.
I didn't like it. And like even when I would have sex, like I was like taking Viagra just to have sex with like these girls that I was like half into.
Yeah.
You know, and like that was ugh.
Yeah.
Like it just felt like, you know, the feeling that they talk about in like a rom-com where you get done and you're like, ugh, I feel dirty.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't even sleeping with dirty people. It just was, it just didn't feel right. Like
right.
I wasn't in love with them. And prior to that, like for years, I'd only had sex with women that I was in love with where like it felt like I just craved them. And
yeah,
I was like, I always fantasize that the single life would be like all the guys say it is. Like it's like this beer commercial life where it's like hooking up, cheers, you know? Like yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, like yeah, beer, hookup, shots.
You know? Everybody's tits are wet.
Yeah, wet t-shirt contest.
Totally. Yeah.
Hooking up.
Yeah.
But cheers. I just was like, there's nothing worse than like sleeping with somebody and knowing that you just don't like that you. I literally think it's a biological thing that like I would sleep with a girl and like my body was like, you don't want to make a baby with her.
Yeah.
You do not want a baby with her. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
And yeah, it and then just most people aren't cool. You know, like. Like everyone, that's true. Everyone in this
no
room.
No truer words. Could that be another yeah. T-shirt? Most people aren't cool.
Most people aren't cool. And yeah. like. Mostly, like everyone in this room is cool. We're all cool. Like we can. We've had this conversation. You know, we're on this level, yeah. Of discourse. But like most girls that you date are pretty basic, and they can't talk about their feelings, and they wouldn't even want to, and they've been discouraged to do that, and like, so it was weird. Like I was always hitting like a wall with them communications wise, where it wasn't. I don't know.
You were, yeah, I was gonna say, can't get below the surface.
I feel like that too sometimes, where I go like, most people just suck. And then sometimes I feel like the older I've gotten, I feel like the more, and I'm the youngest person here, so I shouldn't use that phrase, but I feel like as I've gotten older, I feel like it's more of just a chemistry thing. Like it's not hard to find like a cool person. Mm. It's just hard to find someone who you mesh with.
Yeah.
Because so many people aren't the type of cool that makes you feel cool, you know?
Yeah, where you can open up.
Yeah, because someone else's basic is what's going to make someone else open up, like,
totally.
A goddamn flower, you know?
Totally.
Like
totally. Someone yeah. else's basic is somebody else's...
depth.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Soulmate, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that.
Yeah.
I just think that, I'm used to talking with comics.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the bar is set really yeah. high, I think, in terms of like stimulus in yes. conversation and basically no boundaries. I think a lot of people, yes. when they interact, expect yeah. that you are going to get into very, very deep, real shit, like therapy level shit, right off the bat with somebody.
That's yeah. what it is. That's why everyone yeah. feels basic, because you're like they're like, well, yeah, in like 3 months we'll have that conversation. It's like, no, like I'm getting on a plane on Thursday, so we yeah. gotta have it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
When, yeah. yeah. When you and I can't remember when the first time was that we talked, but I'm pretty sure it was like we got in, like we were talking about real shit right away, because we were like, oh, we like each other and get each other. Like, this is gonna be like an awesome friendship and we can share whatever safely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
we bonded at lesbian speed, you know? Like, like, like we met each other, it's 12 hours later, when we're moving in. We're, yeah. 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 Like, you're my partner. Yeah. You're, like
my life partner.
Yeah. Yeah, like yeah. that's, but that's how, yeah, that's how comics bond. And yeah. And so yeah, I think that a lot of like civilians that I was dating, because I was trying not to date in comedy, I was like trying not to date in that world, that you just couldn't connect, and you could yeah. like I didn't feel that level of connection. And I'm sorry that I called you basic, you know.
No, I get it. I mean, that's like the thing that I loved most about being around comedians, is there was no bullshit. You mm-hmm. got right to the shit that mattered immediately in the green room, hanging out, whatever, because everybody's talking about their issues on stage. They're yeah. talking about it in the
oh,
green room.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And then, yeah, you go to like a barbecue at a friend's house and everybody's pretending that they're okay when you know they're not. And I couldn't figure out like why. What is this weird thing that some people do where it's like they want everything to look good on Instagram, but their shit's falling apart? And it's like, we're so open about that stuff. Maybe it's because that's where we get our material from. That's how we connect. But they try to keep it hidden and we try to kind of reveal that.
Yeah.
And that's a big disconnect for me with, you know, people who are not in this industry. But I've found the people who are like that, you know, outside of the industry. But it is hard because most people are not, and they try to keep it to themselves. It's like, bitch, I see you. You look dead inside. Yeah. And I know that, you know, that Instagram picture is not the real thing. Yeah. So let's talk about it.
It's
you know?
Not at all. Yeah. I think that's why I connected so hard with my girlfriend. We met on an airplane. We sat down.
It's the cutest. Yeah. Cutest story on the planet.
Yeah, we did.
Tell the story.
Yeah, well, we sat down. I always give a speech, like when I'm in the aisle seat, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna fall asleep. If you want to get up, like, please elbow me. Like, don't just like hold it or whatever. I actually rode next to Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a plane and got to give her that speech.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Yeah, she was on the window seat. I was in, and I was like, hey, if you need to get up, she goes, I'm not getting up. And yeah, and it was weird because I thought that it was her. Like when I sat down, I was like, that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And then, when we were getting out, I was like, hey, do you want me to help you with your bags? And she's like, that would be great. Cause I just had my backpack. So I like grabbed her bags and then I walked off, and I had 1 foot off of the plane, and Secret Service like grabbed the bags. They're like, what are you doing with her bags? I'm like, I was just helping her. I'm nice. I'm a man. I'm nice man.
Like, I'm a nice man.
Yeah. And she's like, he's fine. And I'll actually show you the picture.
Yeah, please do.
I can talk and scroll through. I favorited it. But,
easy to pull up.
Yeah, I faved it. But anyway, so I was sitting next to my girlfriend, and I gave her that speech, and then she's an ugly sleeper, she says. I don't think that she's an ugly sleeper, but she says that she is. But so she like...
She ghosts herself,
she
right?
ghosts herself,
I
yeah.
love your pictures.
Yeah, I put it on Instagram.
Oh, where you put it over your head?
The sweater, yeah. So yeah. She's like, cool, I'm going to go to sleep. And then she like wrapped the sweater around, and then she just fell instantly asleep. And it was so funny and so cute, and I kind of like laughed and then fell asleep. And then 2 hours later we woke up, and then she started talking to me, and she had these like beautiful green eyes, and she just had this depth to her. And then we were talking, and you know, and like the people in the psych world, they go deep like even faster than comics do.
Yeah.
So we went like real deep and like almost went on a date on the plane.
Wow.
And yeah, so let me try. I'm still trying to find.
That's the cutest.
That is awesome. Yeah.
That's
cool.
A thing you that never happens.
Well, yeah, you don't hear that story anymore. You just, it's a lot of online dating and Tinder swiping and all mm-hmm. that. You don't hear about meeting on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Ruth Bader after.
Oh my god!
I'm glad you took a photo.
I thought it was gonna be like with her, with you, with her.
No,
it's of her.
You just paparazzi her.
Like, I was like, you're not gonna believe this, and at the time I was texting with Nikki, and I was like Nikki, I'm next to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think. And she was like, send me a picture, because her and Amy were on like they were out on Martha's Vineyard, and so like Nikki and Amy were like
Amy Schumer, but Nikki Glaser, Amy Schumer,
like get proof. So I was like, there's proof, and so this is pretty creepy.
Yeah.
I've never
also not super convincing.
Yeah,
just a
lady with a trench coat.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like touching the handrail and stuff like that. And I'm like, you're the last link in our democracy. You can't touch things. Like, the inner germaphobe in me was like, what are you doing?
Ruth, you can't. Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
I love how you guys, the format where you're like, I have a question.
We try not to interrupt each other. So we're like, so you're so open with your feelings, which is so refreshing. And we all wish more men were like you. And any men who are listening, please. Please, let's just do this, please.
Yeah. It's so much better. It's so much better.
For you and for everyone around you.
We don't see it as a sign of weakness. No. We fucking love it. I love when Kane cries. I'm like, oh my God. Like, he's a real person. I love it. It's so great.
Don't cry because you fucked up.
Yeah.
Cry because your dad was mean or something.
Yeah.
Like, cry. There are different types of crying.
But no, I'm just like, that's funny. I love it. I think it's a very masculine quality, and I hope that our society is moving towards that direction when it comes to raising men. Have you always been like that, or was there like a certain instance in your life that kind of changed things for you? Were you raised that way? How did that happen?
Well, my mom was like a hardcore feminist when I was growing up, and like now everybody kind of is, but like back then I would talk to my friends and be like, yeah, my mom's a feminist, and they were like, what is that? And I was like, they think that women should like be equal, you know, and like, and you know, have stuff and not like, and like the society shouldn't be like bad towards them, and they'd be like, oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, my mom, hold on, oh, there we go. I went for a run before this, and so like I was in the desert all weekend in Vegas, so like my throat's real dry. So
sorry.
I had the swallow. Do you ever have a swallow where it like won't go?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Where I'm like, so I like almost choked on my own throat.
Feel free to have your water.
Yeah, I had a wake apnea.
A wake apnea.
I had a wake apnea, but. But no, my mom would always tell me, she'd be like, it's okay to cry, Peter, you know, like it's all right. You know, my mom would, you know, when I had my like first big girlfriend in high school, she'd be like, do you two need condoms? And you know, like, Aww. Do you talk to her about like, about sex? I'd be like, we're not going to have sex, mom. She'd be like, but you should see how she feels about it. And Aww. You know, she always encouraged me to like talk about my feelings and
yeah.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. And my dad also, you know, like my dad's a sensitive man. He's he was an interior decorator forever.
Yeah.
You know, like he talks about his feelings all the time. And yeah. And so, and my brother and I like always talked about our feelings with each other and stuff. So, Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I kind of have always been like this, but... Yeah.
Like nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like who you like are, it was but, yeah.
Very
yeah.
much promoted in your family all around.
It was very promoted, but I mean, I think recently, you know, getting a really good therapist has helped me out a lot and really... Because I was sort of walking around in a bubble for a long time, you know, where I was like, I'm happy guy, and this is what I self-identify as happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, I'm like, oh, God, I have stuff, I you know.
Yeah.
Like, I have feelings, and I always knew that, like, I was feeling, like, happy or sad or maybe, like, a little bit angry, but, like, I would always present as happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really stressful to me. And now I feel a little bit more comfortable being grouchy if I want to, or, right. you know, yeah. or like just being like I, when I went through my divorce, I would show up at the table at the stand and be like, people would be like, how are you doing? I'm like, I might cry on stage tonight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that might happen. And, you know, like Ari Shaffir would fuck with me every single night. And like, he would like roast my divorce and I loved it. And like comics are the best people to be around when you're sad, because like
right.
they'll just take whatever you're sad about and like roast it and
mm-hmm.
and
right.
yeah, but so I don't know. I mean, but I think that like everybody has the capability, like all the guys out there, if you're listening and you feel a little bit stuck, you know, like you can get in touch with it. It's actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And when you cry, like you feel so happy afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah, like you get that like rush of endorphins after crying. It's
yeah.
like nature's antidepressant. Yeah. So
was there like a certain moment where you knew like, wow, I have a lot of like pent up anger or rage? Like, I'm just, for anybody listening that might be able to kind of pay attention to that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I was in this relationship in like it was like a real tricky, you know, tricky situation where She wasn't easy, you know. I don't know. I don't want to call her anything, you know. But like, things were tough a lot, and she was hanging out with this guy that was like really hunky a lot, and like hanging out till like 4 a.m. and like getting blackout drunk with him, and like coming to my place and like showering right away, and like all this like weird mm-hmm. stuff. And like, it felt really triggering to me, you know. And I was like. So her and I had a therapy session, because we went to therapy, and we had a therapy session where I got like really angry about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the therapist was like, you know, basically agreeing with her, you know, he was like, really? Yeah, you need to stop being so insecure about this. And I was like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
I was like, this is like you're setting someone on fire and being like, you know what you need to do? Just don't see the fire. Like,
yeah.
don't
oh, man.
Like it was so.
Yeah.
It was so awful, and like I felt like at that point I got like in touch with like the peak of my rage, you know, and like it was in a safe space, you know, and like I was yelling, and I got done with that, and I was like, and I ended up like calling up the therapist afterwards. I was like, number one, this relationship needs to be over, because like I can't be in something that's making me feel that way. And he's like, well, that's step number one. He's like, you didn't think high enough of yourself to be with somebody that doesn't treat you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's where I needed you to get to. But he's like, number two, he's like, this anger has nothing to do with her. It comes from childhood stuff. He's like, you have a cauldron of lava that you need to like boil. You need to boil all of that off, you know, in these sessions where you're punching stuff and crying and all that stuff. And he goes, and he goes, number one, If you were ever in that situation again, you wouldn't be that mad, because you'll have boiled it all off, or most of it off. But he's like, number one, you will just love yourself enough to not be with somebody that treats you that way.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know? So, because a lot of times we kind of like replicate our childhood, and, you know, and we get into these bad relationships, and we're just in this cycle where yeah. we're like, well, this is what happens to me. But it's like, mm-hmm. no, you did that to yourself.
Right. And yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but that was the moment where I was like, oh, I need help. I've never gotten that angry in my life, I don't think.
Wow.
And it just seemed so, and since then I've talked, because that's my therapist now. And since then I've talked to him. I'm like, were you just like trying to push my buttons by disagreeing with me and agreeing with her? He's like, oh yeah. He's like, that was totally
Whoa.
Fucked up. He's like, he's like, you were in a fucked up situation, but he's like, I needed you to get to that place.
Whoa.
So that, like,
what?
So
that's Whoa. Crazy yeah. to me. I'd be pissed about
sucks.
That.
Yeah.
But like,
that's a great therapist.
Yeah.
Wow. Doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah. He was kind of antagonizing me like in that safe space to like get me to the point to realize like, oh my God, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Like, cause that wasn't me. like I'm not somebody that like I'm not George Costanza. I don't like just blow up, you know, like crazy.
Right.
And you know, and but also like living in New York, you run into so many people that are like do have explosive personalities and they do explode and get really mad. And
oh my God,
I was
yeah.
always like, am I not like do I not have a full range of emotions? Like, am I not a dynamic person? Mm. I would take acting classes and the teacher, who was probably bipolar, was like, you need to have a full range of emotions, you know? and like, but I actually found the answer to that. Like yeah, if you're in an acting scene, you need to be able to access that level if it calls for that. But in normal everyday life, you should actually be pretty zen. You know, like you should work on your shit so that you're not triggered, so that like somebody can cut you off in traffic and you know, be like, fuck you. And you're like, ah, oh, he's mad at his dad. You know, like,
yeah.
like that has nothing to do right. with me. Like,
yeah.
You know,
right.
It's because I mean, it all boils down to like, it all boils down to like child and adult stuff, you know, like we, I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, bookend yeah. in it.
But
yeah.
like the guy that cuts you off in traffic, I remember, I was actually, I think it was a Spokane and this dude, he like cut me off and then like he pulled up next to me at the light and he like flipped me off and he was like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so it's a very poor representation of me.
No. Okay. Spokane is amazing. And this guy, but anyway, this guy is like irate at me. And like, because my therapist is always like, he's like, you need to live in your adult self, not in your child self, because we all have a child self in us that like it's our ego, it's really fragile. It, you know, if somebody's bickering with you, it wants to bicker back and win.
Yeah.
And like, and he's like, if you're in your adult self, you're gonna look at that and laugh, because like you're that person's a child.
Yeah.
Like that person who's like freaking out, like that's a little child. And he's like, would you ever, if a little child came up to you and was freaking out, he's like, you would laugh your ass off and be like, I don't care what a child thinks.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I do not care. Adult me doesn't care what that kid has to say about
Such
me.
Such a great perspective.
And so it's like you have to live within your adult self and like recognize when people are being adult and being childish.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when your girlfriend is being super adult, you can also hate that too.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Pete,
oh,
we great. Could have talked to you for like 17 hours.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah. much great stuff for this podcast.
Thank you.
Will you plug all your social media and where people can find you?
Yeah, my Snapchat, which I don't really use, is...
You used to have a Snapchat? Yeah. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah, it's Pete Lee Snap, if you snap. I'm on email. I'm on that app, pete@petelee.net. I'm on Twitter, Pete Lee Tweets. I always say it sounds like a moped horn. It's like, Pete Lee Tweets. And then I'm on Instagram, I'm Pete Lee, Pete Lee, Pete Lee. It's my name 3 times. So.
Okay.
And then go to YouTube and watch my Tonight Show clip.
Oh my God, you like they're so good.
You will love it. It will make your day better to watch. He has 3, correct?
3, yeah.
Yeah.
3 and
three
I'm getting ready for another one.
Oh my
God. Amazing. Yeah. That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Very
it's
cool.
Weird. It's really weird.
It's like a masterclass in likability.
It's truly. Yeah, it's you can't not like him. Like truly. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. You can't not like me. That'll be my podcast. You can't not like me.
Boom. All right. Subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and review. And please join our Patreon. We're adding new reward tiers. They should be up very, very shortly, especially by the time this comes out. So go check it out if you want to get some bonus episodes and some really cool like swag.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All right.
It's going to be fun.
That's all.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right.
Love
bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Why won't it let me be? Look inside.